Dr. Mark Pearson, Dr. C. Mark Pearson. I want to get all this right. Mark, nice to see you. How are you?
Pleasure to be here.
Now, what's the doctorate for?
Fracking.
Was it your doctorate? In fact, you're a doctor of fracking.
I'm a frack doc.
You're a frack doc. I love that's it. I didn't know there was such a thing.
You know, when people tell me that this new technology of fracking, and I tell them that 35 years ago I did my PhD in it, it's kind of not so new, you know?
Yeah, tell me about that a little bit, because it's one thing that perplexes people. They think that this is somehow some new thing that just came on, and, you know, what are you doing to the groundwater? First of all, quick history. You know, how long have we been doing fracking?
So the first deliberate frack work that was done here in the U.S., done in the world, was in 1947. In 1949, it was commercialized as a service for fracking by Halliburton Company. And in the 50s, there was quite a bit of fracking done. In the 60s, it kind of fell off some, but in the 70s, really took off for tight gas. And that's where a lot of this technology was developed in the 1970s into the 80s. And then we started looking at it for all kinds of rocks. And I came in the industry in 1981, worked up in Canada, worked up in the North Slope of Alaska, worked throughout the U.S. here and internationally, and gradually got into the shale gas and then into the shale oil, and that's what's made the difference here in our industry.
Now, yeah, so what's new is the combination of fracking and hydraulic drilling.
Right? Yeah, so
horizontal drilling.
A combination of horizontal drilling. In fact, I'll show a picture tomorrow of the first frack job, the first horizontal well frack job that I was on in 1987. And industry, we took the technology, we tried to put it all together in 1987.
Okay, so that was just horizontal drilling, not the combo.
No, the combo. We tried the combo.
Oh, is that right? You tried the combo.
But couldn't get it to work. And a number of companies tried it in West Texas in the mid-80s. Big hush-hush, secret projects. But it didn't work out for anybody. And it took us, basically, as an industry, about 20 years to come up the learning curve and come up the curve of how we segment the hole. You know, we drill these wells in the Bakken 2 mile laterals, but we frack them in 200 to 300 foot chunks. And how you do that effectively, that's what we didn't have 30 years ago. And that's what we developed, the industry developed over the last 10 years. And that's what we've really taken to these tight oil plays.
Is there any reason to worry about fracking from an environmental impact standpoint?
No, none whatsoever. You know,
nothing that even in the back of your mind says this can't happen? Or?
Yeah, nothing for deep. Now, if I was fracking a rock that's at 100 foot, something like that, absolutely, because you could lift up and water could seep
out. But nobody's going to do that.
That's right. And we, you know, under state regulation and state control, we protect all the aquifers down, and we set what's called our surface casing below the deepest aquifer. And that's defined by the state regulators that tell us where we have to make sure that everything is protected that we want to use as an aquifer for environmental purity.
What's the fuss in Oklahoma? And I don't mean the business of, you know, trying to get the university to cook the books or anything. That was dumb. It was stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, is there any real data there that says, hey, more fracking, now some more earthquakes are popping up?
Right, yeah. So it's not the fracking that's causing the earthquakes. What it is injecting wastewater afterwards. So the oil field waste, the produced water that comes as a byproduct when you produce oil and when you produce gas as well, we get that, is injected back into wells. There are some plays in the mid-continent in Oklahoma that have so much water with them that they have very large injection wells. And what happens is just like a balloon. You pump in too much water into that balloon, into that rock, you know, it's going to shift. It's going to move around. And it's that moving around associated with large amounts of water injection, that's what's causing these mini earthquakes. That's what the state of Oklahoma, in fact, that's what they've recently shut down, some of the injection wells. It's not fracking that's causing it. It's just injection.
Tim Fisher, you're a witness.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. One thing I would like to brag about Liberty. Liberty is known throughout the industry as an innovator. When the ceramic proppant started being used, Liberty was the leader in the industry, in my opinion. Matter of fact, I believe there's some of the frack jobs that you've done that you're 100% ceramic proppant, if I'm not mistaken on that. As you had spoken about, the frack stages, you're increasing the amount of stages and for the people in there, that's where the explosions are that actually crack the shale. Mm-hmm. So Liberty has been one of the innovators, and it's a real pleasure having you on the show, because the first site that I took someone to on a frack job was a Liberty site, because I wanted them to walk into your control unit and take a look at that space age technology that you're using. Can you talk a little bit about the money you've invested in that?
Sure. So we actually got two companies, Liberty Resources and Liberty Oilfield Services. So the Liberty Resources is the E&P company that actually produces the well, drills the wells, fracks the rock, and produces the oil and gas. You know, back in the boom, and by the boom I mean like 2010, 2011, because we were a small player, although like you say, we're a very innovative player, no one would come and actually do the frack work. And so what we did is we said, gosh, you know, we can't live like this. We can't just drill wells and not produce them. We actually formed our own frack company. Hmm. And that company is called Liberty Oilfield Services. And so when we set that out, myself, my partner, Chris Wright, that runs Liberty Oilfield Services, we said, what's the best technology that we can bring, not just for Liberty Resources, but for the industry as a whole? And in fact, we've got four frack fleets in the Bakken running right now using that technology. And absolutely, you've been out on location, those frack vans. I built my first frack van in 1985,
wow.
My second one in 1987. And that was the start of these mission control vehicles, basically, that we take out on location. You know, what most people don't realize, these frack fleets cost $30 million a pop. And you're moving a $30 million manufacturing plant to the field, to the well site, and then you're running it flat out for maybe a week at a time, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks at a time, depending upon the number of wells. And it's all from that control center that you see with just multiple screens, a lot of high-tech guys, you know, just running the operations, and, you know, a lot of maintenance activity that goes on behind the scenes and so on. But, you know, it really is a technology innovation. And as we've heard here at the conference, some of the people talking about, just, you know, it's the technology innovation that's made the Bakken play, is what's made the Eagle Ford, and what's made this whole resurgence in U.S. energy supply.
This is so good. You don't have a doctor of fracking on every day, do you? So we need to take a short break, but we're going to hold him over for another segment. The CEO of Liberty Resources, Dr. C. Mark Pearson, is with us, president of Liberty Resources. He is reason enough to get yourself to the North Dakota Petroleum Council's annual meeting and be speaking tomorrow. More coming up after a short time out. We're brought to you today by the Coalition for a Secure Energy Future. Are you concerned about what the EPA is trying to do to your power bill? You should, because it's going up if they get their way, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bottom line. And you know what? The reliability of it. A lot of people in America, they think, yeah, I plug in that charger for my iPhone, and that's where electricity comes from, the outlet in the wall. No, it doesn't come from the outlet in the wall. It comes from coal-powered electricity right here in the great state of North Dakota. Vast majority of the power right here in this state comes from coal, and about 50% in the United States. It matters. It matters, the reliability of it. What happens if the iPhone doesn't charge? How about my power bill doubled? It tripled? What happened? You can find out what you will pay under the Clean Power Plan. The Clean Power Plan.
You know what happens? You don't get any text back from anybody. That's what happens.
That'd be an okay thing, actually. Just shut off texting. Keep our power. Anyway, find out more at SecureEnergyFuture.org. SecureEnergyFuture.org. More on Energy Matters after this timeout. Don't go away. Energy Matters live and on location, North Dakota Petroleum Conference today, and I am Scott Henn along with Tim Fisher, Bakken Energy Services. We're chatting with the fracking doctor, who will be making an address before the group tomorrow, Liberty Resources. How much time you spend in North Dakota, Mark?
I get up there every month, so I spend a few days to a week right now. I used to spend 60% of my time. In fact, my son at one time, who was born about six and a bit years ago, he spent 60% of his first 2 years in life living out of a motel room in the Candlewood Suites. A plug for the Candlewood Suites in Williston, North Dakota, where we were resident for 2 years.
Now, wait a minute. Let me repeat what I think I just heard. You're saying, as you're building this company, you're out here with a newborn, basically.
Yeah, one and then two of them, yeah.
And
frack pup and frack chick, by the way.
Is that right? A frack? Well, okay, you're the doctor of fracking,
right.
So I suppose the kids are going to be the frack.
The frack pup and the frack chick.
Yeah, be careful on how you say that. It's a little challenging there, but anyway, that's how old are you?
I'm at least 30.
Are you really?
That's right. Yeah. So actually, closer to double that actually.
Yeah. See, I'm 50.
There you go.
Well, and our youngest is 12.
There we go. Well,
yeah, and you did me. I'm very
proud. I'm above you, and my youngest is 4 and a half. Yeah.
Well, you're
so awesome. I mean, don't you love young kids?
See, the Bach keeps you young.
It does. It gives you energy.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, and I wasn't in any way trying to suggest this is anything but a great idea. I mean, I really do. I envy you. I love little kids. Now it's nieces and nephews, but our youngest is 12, and I don't go to a restaurant with my daughter without getting called her grandpa.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird thing. It's kind of I don't know. You're not supposed to have gray hair in 12-year-olds. I don't know what the deal is, but I do, and I'm proud of it. Why are you looking at me like this, Tim?
Oh, well, all my friends, no, I'm not going to go there. No, but here's where, here's where I do want to go. And again, I've been fascinated with liberty. That's why I'm honored to have you on here, Doctor.
You want to get back to the topic at hand, and I've messed the whole show up.
No, that's
you. But actually, in all seriousness, you're talking about being out here as an expert in fracking with young children.
Right,
and having to live out of a candlelight hotel, and I mean that's dedication.
I mean, that's what it takes.
Yeah,
that's what it takes to make a step change. You don't sit in an ivory tower in Denver or Houston or somewhere and say do this, do that. You get out and you work with the team of really qualified, technically oriented people to make it happen. And what we're doing, we really are. I mean, I had the fortune 2 years ago. I was a worldwide lecturer for the Society of Petroleum Engineers, the International Society of Petroleum Engineers, lecturing worldwide on the topic of multi-stage horizontal wells and how we're doing this. And I can tell you, the Bakken is the leading. The Bakken is the leading place in the whole world. It leads the Eagle Ford, leads West Texas in technology, and those three basins between them are light years ahead of anything else that's going on worldwide.
Tell me why.
Ingenuity. And an opportunity that it's not just, a federally run, national oil company that's running this here. It's a lot of small independent companies that are out there with the opportunity to go and put our own capital to work with mineral rights that we can own and that we can lease, and that we can go out and apply technology and go and prove the strength of our convictions that we can get more oil out of the ground.
So here's my question. Gordon Gekko was on the beach somewhere in Long Island. 1985, we'll say it was, right?
I don't think he ever visited the Bakken. I think he actually lives out
there. He had this ginormous, brick of a phone that cost like $50,000, okay? And today, let's just fast forward to 2005. Pick a date, 85 to 2005, okay? Yep. iPhone, $500, and it's your office, okay? Is the same thing happening in fracking?
Absolutely. I mean, and it has to respond to the marketplace. So, I mean, I'll give you an example. Between 2010 and 2013, we drilled and fracked 31 wells in the Williston area, average of $10.5 million a well. Those wells today that we do with same design, same everything else, everything, the whole well design, the fracks, the same, about $8.5 million a day. But that's not good enough. And where we're going to be, down somewhere between $7 and $7.5 million a well by the time we get to next year. And that's where we have to be able to survive where we are with the world oil price. So technology's changing, and the way how you're able to still survive in that is that the product you're delivering is better. Just like the cell phone, the box cell phone that Gordon Gekko had on the beach could not do anything like what my iPhone 6 can do today. The same thing, the wells that we are developing today are 50 to 60% better on average as an industry than what they were 3 to 5 years ago in the same rock, in the same Bakken formation.
Can we survive $40 oil?
We can most likely survive as long as your companies are financed okay. So the industry will survive. It's just going to be very tough to service a large amount of debt if you've got a lot of debt. But you can survive because you can still operate. Operating costs are less than $10 a barrel.
With the new efficiency, what's the sweet spot?
The sweet spot, it depends. The sweet spot and the best of the Bakken can survive in that $45 to $50 range and still be economic to drill. But the problem is there's only a very small part of the Bakken that can do that. Right. And so in order to get sort of beyond the sweetest tier one, the most of the Bakken needs somewhere around $60 to $65 oil. And what most analysts will tell us is that within a year or so, we're going to be back there. So if everything plays out like the analysts expect right now, by the time we're out about a year or so down the road, we're going to be back in a relatively healthy position as far as North Dakota is concerned.